Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Third edition. I don't believe all of you really have a grasp on how this particular drama has impacted our community. You'd almost have to be working in the drama and seeing what goes on and talking to people around town. I think I told you last year after we had our first one, we got the t-shirts, and I was wearing my t-shirt one day to a convenience store, and the lady behind the counter, she said, "Well, what's this ruptured thing y'all are doing at?" And I said, "You know, I know some churches that have ruptured, but this is raptured we're talking about. Let's bring the lights all the way up if we could. Let there be light. Somebody, I need all the help I can get. Seems like we're a little dim here, so if someone could..." Would anyone be willing to do that? Thank you. We need them all the way up, please. Thank you so much. These old aging eyes aren't what they used to be, but you'd be much in prayer if you would for this particular edition of Rapture. And let's bow our heads as we begin the message. Father, thank you for the men and women and young people who will comprise this wonderful presentation in October. And I would humbly ask that you fill them with your Spirit, bring people from far and wide to hear the good news of the gospel, and save those, Father, who call upon your name during that week. And we know they will. We know others will come as Christians and yet not walking with you, and we would pray that you would reclaim them as backsliders coming back into fellowship with you, and may Jesus Christ receive all the glory and honor, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Let me tell you what my passion was as a child growing up in the 1960s. Comic books, Superman, Batman, Archie and Jughead. How many of you remember Archie and Jughead? Well, you're dating yourself a little bit, but my favorite part of these comic books, and if you remember back in the 60s and early 70s, they always had an advertisement section in the back. And my favorite ad was the one, listen now, many of you will remember this one. My favorite ad was the one for the X-ray glasses. You remember that one? For $2.95, you could buy a special pair of glasses that would help you see inside people's bodies. You could see their heart and their lungs and their kidneys, and thousands of gullible kids spent $2.95, which, rest assured, back in that day was a whole lot of money, and they were deceived. They were disappointed. Those X-ray glasses remind me of today's gift, the gift of discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10 gives us the word in the Greek. It is the word, now listen to this, the word discernment in the Greek language, diakrisis. And here's what it means, to see through. Literally, this gift enables the possessor to see through. Just like those X-ray glasses. You know, we're living in the day of the counterfeit. For the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be an antichrist. For wheat, there's going to be tares. For true prophets, there's going to be false prophets. For genuine revival, there is synthetic revival. For sheep, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. For angels, there are fallen angels. And people with the unusual gift, and it is an unusual gift in the church, people with the gift of discernment can see through a given situation. They can recognize the working of the devil behind the scenes. Listen to 1 John 4 in verse 1. Try the spirits to see if they are of God. For not all spirits, John said, are of God. Now, all of us as Christians are to have discernment. But the gift of discernment is an unusual, special ability that some Christians have. They are enabled by the Holy Spirit to know that which is of God from that which is of Satan, to detect that which is phony from that which is genuine, to read a religious book and immediately pick up on subtle errors, to hear a sermon and detect false doctrine. I want to share with you, and I have done a whole lot of study on this gift, and I boiled it down to three areas in which I think this gift manifests itself in the local church. Here's the first one. Special problems. Now, we're not going to turn to Acts 6. You know that in the story of Acts chapter 6, the first seven deacons are elected. They are elected because the church is in crisis mode. Thousands of people have joined this church, and they cannot minister to all the people who have come into the fold. And so the pastors go to the leadership of the church and say, look, we cannot leave the Word of God to serve tables. We need to minister to those who are hurting and those who need help. And so this gift, now listen to the manifestation of this gift in the church. And there are those of you in this church who have this gift, and I have seen it in you already in the short time I've been your pastor. This gift can see the problem. It sees problems in the church, in the body. It's able to detect them. This spiritual gift can see problems other people cannot. I've had many of you come up to me with this gift, and you said, Pastor, we're going to have a problem over here, or if we're not careful, this is going to happen. That is the gift of discernment. It can detect a problem. It can also expect a problem. Some have come to me and said, you know, we can anticipate this happening. If we don't do this or we don't do that, we're going to have problems down the road. I have had people in all four of the churches I have pastored who have this gift. But here's the amazing thing about the gift of discernment. It can see the problem. It cannot solve the problem. Now, trust me on this one. Will you trust me on this one? I have been pastoring a long time, and I have met people, worked with people in all four churches who have the gift of discernment, and boy, they can see a problem. They can see a problem that is currently in the church, or they can see a problem that is coming down the road. But they'll come to you as a pastor, and they'll say, Pastor, we're going to have a problem down the road, or we got a problem right now, let me share it with you. And oftentimes I'll say to them, well, what do you think we ought to do about it? And they don't have a clue. They just see the problem. They cannot solve the problem. In June, I'm going to be preaching about another spiritual gift that comes along on the heels of discernment with the ability to solve problems. It is the gift of wisdom. Wisdom. These pastors knew there was a problem. They detected it in the church. But you know who came along? Some of the other leaders in the church said, look, here's what we're going to do to solve the problem. Discernment doesn't matter if wisdom doesn't come along behind it and solve the problem. They knew they had a problem, but men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom were able to say, here's what we'll do. We will elect men to help with the problem, and that's where the deacons were elected from, this crisis in the early church. And so while discernment may see the problem, wisdom solves the problem. Now here's another case where this gift is used in the local church. This is where it gets a little deeper, so hang on. Not only special problems, but spiritual perception. Let me show you how this gift works in this regard. The gift of discernment, again, the Greek word means X-ray glasses, the ability to see through It exposes people's deception. Acts chapter 5, don't turn there. We don't have time to look at many of these verses. But in Acts chapter 5, you know that Ananias and Sapphira sold some property. And they made out like they gave all the proceeds to the church when in fact they kept back part of the price of the land. And so Ananias walks in, and on a glorious Sunday morning, he stands in front of the church and he announces, "Not only have we sold some property, we're giving all the proceeds to the church." He probably got a standing ovation. People were lauding his praises. Not Peter. Peter had the gift of discernment. He had on spiritual X-ray glasses. He saw through to the heart. He knew that the motive was impure for him standing, that is Ananias, and announcing that he had given all the money because he had not done that. He had held back part of it. How did Peter know that, by the way? Holy Spirit told him. It's the gift of discernment. In Acts chapter 8, verses 20 and 23, Paul the apostle confronted a sorcerer named Simon who wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it was Peter who did that. Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 23, and Peter, with the gift of discernment, saw through to the impure motives of the man's heart, and he rebuked him. Paul, in Acts chapter 13, verse 6, confronted a sorcerer named Elymas, who was filled with wickedness, and Paul, realizing he had an impure motive, rebuked him in the name of the Lord Jesus because he saw through to the wicked heart of the man, and he had the gift of discernment as well. There's another way in which it manifests itself. It not only exposes people's deception, it exposes perverted doctrine. This gift of discernment. Now listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1. Again, let me just turn there and read it. This gift of discernment also comes into play when it comes to false teaching in the church. Now, all of us are to have discernment about false doctrine. But the possessor of the gift of discernment has an unusual ability to know true doctrine from false doctrine, true teaching from false teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Holy Spirit, he said, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Every one of us are to know the Word of God well enough that we can detect truth from error because 1 John chapter 4, verse 6 says we need to be able to distinguish that which is true from that which is false. But someone with the gift of discernment is able to expose perverted doctrine. They know occult from Christian teaching. They can spot a counterfeit when it comes to preaching and teaching. In fact, I'm told that agents from the Treasury Department, Secret Service, continually study to know that which is true from that which is false concerning money. They can spot a counterfeit bill just like that. How many of you recently, this seems to be more prevalent now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. Anytime I go into a convenience store around town, give them anything like a $20 or a $50 bill, they'll stand there and hold it up to the light. Have you noticed more and more of that happening? Now, I don't know what they're looking for. Evidently, they've been trained to look up into the light with these bills and see something that may be amiss. But do you know how these Secret Service and Treasury Department agents can detect a counterfeit? They don't sit around all day looking at counterfeit bills. They study the genuine article. And the more you study the genuine article, the quicker you can spot a counterfeit bill. Folks, look at this. This is a genuine article. And the more of this book you know, the more of this book you study, the more of this book you assimilate into your heart, the easier it is going to be for you to spot that which is fake. Do you know how Baptists get involved in cults? I got some sad news for you this morning. This has been the case now for five years in a row. More Baptists have joined the Mormon cult than any other Protestant denomination in the country in the last 5 years. Every year, Mormonism takes in more Baptists than from any other mainline Protestant denomination. Do you know why Baptists, we call ourselves people of the book, that's a joke. The average Baptist doesn't know very much Scripture. We applaud ourselves for standing on the inerrancy of the Word, but that isn't enough. How much of the Word of God do you know? And furthermore, how much of the Word of God are you living? But I want you to know that if we knew the book, we wouldn't be duped and deceived by some of these cults and false religions. What a horrible indictment and commentary on our denomination that Mormonism for 5 years has boasted more Baptists coming into the fold than Methodists and Catholics and Episcopalians and Presbyterians. It's because we are woefully illiterate of the Word of God. Someone with the gift of discernment is able to hear and detect false teaching. Or if you know the Word of God, you'll have no trouble doing that. But this spiritual gift of discernment is just unusual in its ability. It's like a special radar God gives someone to detect error. Well, here's something else. Not only special problems in spiritual perception, but I am convinced, having studied the New Testament, that the gift of discernment also manifests itself in the ability to detect, listen to this, satanic power in the church. I know people with this spiritual gift. They have their antenna up. They can detect when evil is working in the church. Now, it is no shock to you, I hope, that the devil does his greatest work behind the scenes. He works in a clandestine, stealth kind of manner where he gets other people to do his bidding, and he's always behind the curtain, as it were. I want you to join me in 2 Corinthians 11 for a moment. I haven't had you turn to much scripture today because there's so much of it. I've quoted most of it, but if you look in 2 Corinthians 11, this passage talks about Satan masquerading as an angel of light. He was an angel at one time. His name was Lucifer. There's no scriptural warrant to believe that he was an archangel. There's one archangel. It is Michael. Many have assumed that Lucifer was an archangel. He was never called that in Scripture, but he was certainly a prominent angel in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 11, look at these words. Satan himself, verse 14, transforms himself into an angel of light. He's always working through intermediaries. He is always working behind the scenes. And I have met and served with and pastored men and women who have the gift of discernment. Now, some of them can see special problems in the church. Others have spiritual perception regarding false teaching. But thirdly, there are others with the antenna up, and they can detect satanic power in the local church. Number one, they're sensitive to Satan's presence. You know anyone like that? See, not all Christians are. The devil can be working in a church, and many Christians are just oblivious to it. They don't even know. They don't detect it. Others with the gift of discernment can pick up on it. Now, it is one thing to feel the presence of the Spirit we have this morning through the singing, through the praying, through the choir, hopefully through this message. You feel the presence of the Spirit. It is another thing entirely to be able to feel the presence of spirits, evil spirits, in fact, and they are mentioned all through the Word of God, demonic presence. In Acts chapter 16, Paul, with the gift of spiritual discernment, is preaching in Philippi, and there was a demon-possessed young girl. You've read the story. She was following Paul and creating chaos and havoc and confusion, and Paul, with the gift of discernment, rebuked her in the name of the Lord. He felt the presence of evil. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, rebuked Peter. Jesus felt the presence of evil when he was talking about going to the cross, and Peter said, "No, I'm not going to let you go to the cross. Far be that from you." And Jesus turned around and rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He felt the presence of the evil one in that situation. I'll give you an example. When I was in Fort Worth at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, this made the papers. It was a lady who walked into a Sunday evening service in one of the Baptist churches there in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Two godly deacons were out in the welcome center greeting people as they came in for the evening worship. This woman walked in the door, and these two deacons immediately felt the presence of Satan. Something wasn't right. They felt the presence of evil. And one of them went over to this young lady and he said, "Ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to join us." And he and the other deacon took her to a back room there in the church. And they set her down. It was a Sunday school room. And they looked at her and said, "We have a feeling in our spirit that something's wrong with you. And we'd like to know what's going on." She broke down and began to cry. She opened her purse and pulled out a knife about this long and told those two godly deacons that she had been dispatched earlier that afternoon from a coven of witches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to that church on that evening, and her job was to stab and kill the pastor of the church. Now, folks, that's the gift of discernment. Not every Christian has that. Good news on that score was that she came to know Christ as her Lord and Savior. Those deacons were able to take her to the pastor. She confessed to the pastor what her intent was. They were able to lead her to faith in Christ. An amazing story. But that is the spiritual gift of discernment. It is sensitive to Satan's presence. Secondly, it is sensitive to Satan's plots, his plots. See, again, the devil rarely works out in the open. He is working behind the scenes, and people with the gift of discernment can see through the situation. They are sensitive to the working, to the strategies, to the plots of the devil. Now, can I share two important truths here before we move on and close the message? Number one, the devil is not responsible for every problem we have as a church. I hear Christians all the time rebuking the devil for something the devil has nothing to do with. Be careful who you blame. Sometimes we make problems for ourselves in our church and in our families by our own disobedience. And you can rebuke Satan all day long, but he's not within 500 miles of your problem. You're responsible sometimes for your problems. Sometimes problems we think are of the devil. Listen to this. Sometimes problems we attribute to Satan are really tests from God. Did you know that? It takes someone with great spiritual discernment to know the difference between an attack of the devil and a test from God in heaven. Now, it's the easiest thing in the world to do to just attribute every problem you've got to the devil. Don't do that. That is very unhealthy. Sometimes God is responsible for your trial and your valley. He will never tempt you to sin. But sometimes he is responsible for your testings. He wants to draw you closer to him. Here's another thing I want you to write down. There are people in every church, believe me, I know this is true. I know whereof I speak. It's been the case in the three previous churches I have pastored, and every single pastor I have ever known and ever fellowshipped with and ever talked with has conveyed this very same thing to me. There are people in every church. I'm sure there's probably some in this one, though I have yet to meet you. But I can tell you in the three previous churches I have pastored, there are people in every church who get very unbalanced regarding Satan. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, they're the kind of people that see a devil behind every tree and a demon behind every rock. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is real. He is a formidable foe. He is the enemy of our soul. But it is very unhealthy to have an unbalanced view of Satan, where you get so preoccupied with evil and so focused on darkness that you are more focused on Satan than Jesus. Keep your balance. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. We are involved in spiritual warfare. We've got a real enemy. He's invisible, but he's real. I had a lady at my church in Birmingham to come to me one morning. She was white as a sheet. She was trembling. She was sweating. She walked into my office at 8:30 one morning, and here's what she said to me. She said, God woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning, and he told me, you all remember, don't you, Natalie Holloway, the young teenager from Birmingham who took a senior trip to Aruba, and we've never heard from her since. She was sitting there trembling in front of my desk, and she said, God woke me up this morning and told me that Natalie Holloway was kidnapped by Satan worshipers, and she is now a sex slave in Luxembourg. And she just kept going on and on, just shaking and fidgeting. And her whole life started to revolve around Natalie Holloway being kidnapped by Satan worshipers and being over in Europe and being a sex slave. And she was determined to go tell Beth Holloway, Natalie's mother, who lived about 20 miles from our church, what had happened. And it was all I could do to keep her from doing that. She was intent on calling her and going to seeing her. And over and over and over again, she was telling people in the church God had told her that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm talking about. That is very unhealthy. Don't ever disregard the power of the enemy. Don't ever disregard the power of Satan. But I want you to listen to this verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Keep your focus on the one who is in you that is greater than the one out here in the world, and that is Satan. And the one who is in you who is greater than the one in the world is the Spirit of the living God. All of you have heard of unbalanced people who get so focused on Satan that they do horrible things, like that woman in Houston a few years ago who was convinced her children were demon-possessed and she drowned them in a bathtub. She was unbalanced spiritually and mentally. Let's be people of balance, recognizing we have a real enemy, resisting the power of Satan, but also realizing we have one within us who is greater than the enemy. And for every moment we focus on the evil one, we need to focus even more on the one who is in us, who is greater than the evil one. If we will do that, Isaiah 26:3 will be a very real expression of our life. Listen to this, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, not whose mind is stayed on evil or darkness, or Satan. You know the verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Bow your heads together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.